Are those
Yeah, I
called
guess not.
dad hats?
I mean,
Or
everything
like the
that I
golf
own is a
hats?
dad thing at this point.
That hat says, I'm 38, not 41.
Be clear. Let's be clear. I'm still him, guys, because I turned that.
Glad
Welcome
that
to Highly
someone is.
Questionable. Dominique thinks he looks good. Mina's gassing him up. It doesn't really work. Let's do a show.
Does it feel like the Lakers series is already over?
Well, this would be why people reportedly were ducking them or trying to avoid them in the standings, because a healthy Los Angeles Lakers team is going to look good. The defending champs went up 2-1 on Phoenix last night, and frankly, it looked kind of easy. It made the game a little bit boring. Obviously, Chris Paul and his shoulder injury not being his normal self, but even then, you've got Devin Booker, 19 shots to get 19 points. Meanwhile, you have LeBron James seemingly sort of picking his spots in this game, playing for about a 12 to 15 minute stretch, getting what he has to get done and then getting out of there. But hey, this is exactly what teams were avoiding. This is what Utah didn't want to see. This is what supposedly Denver or the Clippers didn't want to see. It just so happens it's unfortunate that it's Chris Paul again getting hurt in the playoffs and has to face this juggernaut of a Lakers team when they're healthy. But I think this is kind of what people were predicting, no?
Yeah, but I think there is some bright side to Phoenix. They're obviously not going to win this series, but it seems like we've awakened a new DeAndre Ayton, and it doesn't feel like a fluke. It feels like he is a bigger contributor than we could have expected. We've gotten a lot out of Cameron Payne, which I think is a good piece for them to build towards, even though he's coming off the bench. But one of the things about the Chris Paul injury is we're used to seeing that from Chris Paul, but it feels like this year's playoffs, more than any other in NBA history, at least since I've been watching basketball, feels like the playoffs are pivoting on injuries. We see AD and LeBron, and we never know when either of them are going to be healthy. We know that Mina's beloved Nets, their future rests on whether KD is going to stay healthy or not, which we're not sure about. Then we have Embiid, who has injury history all throughout. We have the Nuggets, who we thought were a title contender until Murray gets hurt. I'm sorry, Mina. I'm sorry to rain on all of this. But the final point here is that it feels like the field is wide open, something that we don't normally get in the NBA. It feels a lot more like the NFL, where it's kind of a war of attrition and there's excitement every week.
I was scoffing, Dominique, not because you were assaulting my beloved Nets, but because you were talking about hypothetical injuries. Yes, I agree. If KD is hurt or Joel Embiid gets hurt, those teams would struggle. Meanwhile, Chris Paul has a very real injury, and it's largely why this series feels so lopsided now. When he was on the court last night, the Suns were outscored by 20 points. They went on to lose by 14. Like, the Lakers were good, don't get me wrong. Defense was incredibly solid. LeBron James was efficient. They dominated in the paint, but they're not shooting well at all. Like, they're kind of boring to watch. They're not the Showtime Lakers. They're more like the History Channel Lakers right now. So while I feel pretty confident that they're gonna bully Phoenix, I don't feel that much more confident in the Lakers versus some of the better teams based on what we've seen thus far.
Yeah, they're
Wouldn't
not
the History Channel Lakers be the Showtime Lakers? Because this version, the new version of the Lakers, are a great defensive team. Frankly, I think they were best in the league. And so, yeah, that should translate into these playoffs.
Your point about them not being exciting is why I spent most of the evening while I was watching a game thinking of larger theories about the playoffs and talking about these hypothetical injuries, which I don't believe to be actually hypothetical. I know they're not reality, but they're not hypothetical. They're somewhere in between. With the guys that I'm talking about, these are guys who are known to get injured and are coming off of big injuries, have missed extended time throughout the course of this year. So I understand your point, but are you going to be shocked if one of the 13 times that AD falls down, he gets up and has to go to the bench? Like, you're not going to be surprised if any of the people that I named happen to go out at some point in this playoffs.
Are the Bucks turning the corner, or are they just beating up on a flawed Heat team?
Man, I wish we could just answer one without the other. Yes, the Bucks are turning the corner. We'll get back to the Heat in a second. I do think the Bucks are turning a corner. It's more of a mentality, really. I mean, obviously, Jrue Holiday has been huge for them at the point guard position. And frankly, it's been just as much defensively as offensively, as you can just see in this series, him harassing the ball handlers of the Miami Heat. But you just look up and down that roster, and hopefully that Dante DiVincenzo injury isn't too bad. But they look confident. They're shooting well. Chris Middleton as a primary playmaker and score for himself, you start to get more and more confident in him and that you don't need Giannis to initiate all the time and to try to finish for himself and everything else. So it feels more like a team. The chemistry feels right. And you can just see they're not intimidated by Miami. They're sticking to their game plan and making Miami look pretty bad. So yes, I do believe they've turned a corner to the point where you could argue right now, yeah, they might even be the favorites in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, there were a couple stats out of this game that blew my mind. One was that apparently in this series, the Heat have the worst shooting percentage of any playoff team in the last 5 years, which suggests that they do deserve a fair amount of the blame, also that the Bucks are playing stifling defense. The other stat, and this is from last game in particular, Drew Holiday finished plus 41. Like, if your plus minus is as old as the two of you, you are doing something right. And that's specifically you, Izzy, and you, Dominic Foxworth. I'm nowhere near 40 myself, so, you know, I just can't relate to that statistic. But as Izzy pointed out, drawing on his wealth of age and experience, look, Giannis was good last night, but he only scored 17 points. This is a very different Bucks team from what we saw, the one that choked last year, because on a night where Giannis is just really good, they are still steamrolling teams because of Middleton and Holiday, and I do agree with you. They are the scariest team, not just in the East, but in the entire NBA right now.
It's okay, Izzy. This is called insecurity. This is what you do when you're insecure. You focus on these sorts of things, and you drill it time and time again. It's like the people who are going after Miami Heat culture. Those are insecure people. Obviously, Heat culture is not prevailing right now. It was something different last year. These in-between game adjustments that we all hear Coach Spo is legendary for, they are absent somewhere in this series, in part because he don't got the guys. And last year, the bubble was a unique situation, and Mina brings up these interesting stats that absolutely matter. I think that Drew Holiday is plus 88 throughout the entire series, just 41 throughout last night. So he has been a problem all series, and it's all about the defense and also taking the pressure off of Giannis at the end. I think part of the problem in our superstar kind of focused culture is like there is only one way to be a superstar in our minds. It's like you must close games. Giannis isn't a closer. That's not what he's meant to do. He impacts the games in so many other ways. And when you say someone's not a closer, it's meant as an insult. But there are starting pitchers who obviously aren't closers, and their impact on the game is huge. I see Giannis more as that type of guy. You don't want to put the ball in his hand for the final seconds because that's not what he's best at.
You know, I would get mad for Mina saying, oh, you're old, you're 41. But I'm 43, so she actually took a couple of years off. Thanks, Mina.
I'm not even 40 yet.
Can we talk a little bit about Heat
Mina
culture?
Taught me that.
Yeah. It averages out to 41. Because Izzy's always talking about Heat culture this, Heat culture that. Right now, Heat culture looks a little bit like some yogurt that's been left out of the sun.
See, culture, you see what you did there?
Culture, I see. I also would like you to find the tape of me saying Heat culture that's not in a mocking tone. I think you might be confusing me with other South Floridians, which is understandable, but oh my goodness, it drives me nuts when people try to create whatever happens this year with the Miami Heat and say, oh, does that mean that last year's was a fluke? Last year and this year are different years. It doesn't matter what the Miami Heat do this year. Last year, they made it to the finals, and you can't take that away from them. Stop making the two seasons one season, even though they were kind of close together. So many things happened to the Heat. Do you guys remember that they traded for Victor Oladipo? It's not like Houston just gave them Victor Oladipo. They lost a rotation player in there. And then what happened? Victor Oladipo got hurt. That was Kelly Olynyk, by the way. And everybody who wants to blame Bam for how is Bam supposed to get comfortable offensively when you don't feature him offensively all season long? Then all of a sudden, against the two freaks of nature, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Brook Lopez, you're like, okay, Bam, you're 6'9". You go ahead and take over. That makes no sense. Can we please stop talking about the Heat when we don't know what we're talking about? All right, next subject. Let's move on.
So Heat culture, not a thing this year?
Heat culture is not something that I use as something that says, hey, this is why the Heat are winning. That's just for everybody else. That's just fodder for everybody else who wants to have fun with it. I get what Heat culture is, but I'm not using it as a take, as a reason why they're winning.
Thing or no thing. That's all we need to know.
Defend Pat Riley for not trading for James Harden.
Ooh. I mean, listen, if the reports are true that they said, no, you can't have both Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, then I will absolutely blame him. But I don't believe that the Rockets were just sitting there saying, okay, we'll take that trade. No, I don't think they were allowing Miami to make that trade.
Defend comparing Tyler Hero to Devin Booker.
Oh, you did that. I heard you.
Wait, wow, we heard this.
I didn't do that. The Miami Heat did that reportedly from somebody else, I think, voiced it, who used to sit in the middle here. And that, my friends, is a terrible take. He is never going to be Devin Booker. He's not even the size of Devin Booker, much less the complete player of Devin Booker. That was the Heat being prisoners of the moment.
Do you expect the Clippers to roll over tonight against the Mavs?
Wow, so this is game three tonight. We shift over to Dallas with Dallas already up 2-0. And I know a lot of the focus has to be on the Clippers and their collapse and the possibility of Kawhi Leonard coming to Miami as a free agent if he loses in the first round with the Clippers. Just saying, that is out there. I do want to look at the Mavericks and what they're actually doing. And when I say they, I mean Luka Doncic. And it's just such a pleasure to watch him continue to evolve. You know, he came into the league and was, the house on fire, was just shocking the world and just like, wow, this big guy can do all these things. Now he's doing more. He's doing more than just a step back three. He's incorporating more mid-range this year and in the playoffs than he ever has. And that, when you've got a guy like Kawhi Leonard in the mid-range and he doesn't even bother you when he's defending you, that's not just impressive. That's like unstoppable, I can make a deep run through the playoffs kind of stuff. So yes, I do kind of want to watch the Clippers collapse again, but really, really want to watch the evolution, the continued evolution of Luka Doncic, because he is amazing.
Did you see what Izzy did there, Dominique? He made it about the Heat without actually using the words Heat culture. That's his trick. Listen, I know, like intellectually, I know the Clippers should win a game. Like, I know that they were the better regular season team. I know that Kawhi Leonard is excellent. I know that contrary to the numbers he's put up so far in the playoffs, Timothy Hardaway Jr. is not the best player in the history of the NBA. Like, I know with my head, all of these things are true, but I also believe with my heart that the Clippers are cursed. Like, just cursed. Like, cursed. They're obviously cursed. Like, they do not need better coaching. They need someone to rid them of whatever hex it has been cast on their house. Like, they need a ghost hunter, because I am not going to be Charlie Brown with the football with this team again. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not buying in. Like, I just do not believe in them, because I believe in greater powers.
Well, I'll go on the other side of that. No, they're not going to roll over. They're absolutely going to win tonight. And I don't think that the series is all the way over as bad as they look. I know that this team, as it is constructed, has not overcome very much, but they are made up of several players who have overcome a lot. And I don't think that this is enough to break this team down. So I do think they win. But I also want to focus on Luka some, because you're right, Izzy. Luka's development has been incredible. And we compare his playmaking combined with his size to a young LeBron James. Obviously, he is not the physical specimen of LeBron James, and he is not quite the supercomputer mentally, although he's getting close as LeBron James, and he's not the defending player that LeBron James is, but he's developed a post game. And LeBron, it took him forever. And Mr. Miami can speak to this personally. Seeing Luka work in the post as a very young player, it points out and highlights one of the things that we all like to say about Luka all the time. It's the one thing that everyone always says about Luka whenever he does anything good. He's been playing professional basketball for a long time. So normally it takes guys a real long time to kind of, those bigger guys who are also athletic, to understand that a lot of their advantages are in the post. Seeing Luka do that specifically is what scares me about the future of the Western Conference when Luka becomes the player that, the full version of the player that we think he can be.
Up next on HQ.
No chance to get him.
Okay.
I don't know how anybody ever falls for the "oh, he's running back to home plate" move.
Keep going, keep going. Go.
Do you question if we should praise Javi Baez or ridicule the Pirates?
Well, this was Javi Baez of the Cubs at the plate against the Pirates here. And all you really need to know about this clip is that yesterday what was trending in all caps was, there were two outs.
Chance to get him.
Okay.
I don't know how anybody ever falls for the "oh, he's running back to home plate" move.
Go.
Rizzo cracking up, I think, does it for me here. We cut to the dugout. Like, if you're a manager and you have to bench somebody or sit somebody for sort of jogging to first on a ground ball to shortstop, what do you have to do to that Pirates first baseman there for just sort of, I don't even know if you call that a half whatevering. It's like quarter whatevering. I can't even say that word. But yeah, he definitely probably needs to sit for a few games.
So I like baseball, but sometimes there are like weird rules I don't know. Watching that, it was so stupid that I thought, well, there must be some weird rule at play that I don't understand that explains the decision making behind it. No, it was just that dumb.
I mean, like if you casually walk a batter back to home plate, like that's an automatic out. Yeah, that was one of those rules that you would have just learned coming out of nowhere.
I mean, I feel like when I'm watching that, I don't want to ridicule anybody. Like if I have to celebrate Javi Baez, then that's what I do if I have to choose between the two. But I just want to enjoy that clip. Like it's just to mount the Jose Canseco ball off the head. Like look at this. This is great. And we talk about guys not giving it all their effort in baseball, running down the line. Like Javi Baez will not give up. Like, he is the one who should be celebrated. He does a safe sign before running to first. Like, this is tremendous.
Such a contrast, because while he's not giving up, that Pirates first baseman has given up the second the ball got to his glove. He's like, all right, this is going to be easy. I wonder at what point he realized that he was going to be the most embarrassed person in baseball for the rest of the year.
Do you question if Phil makes a good point?
Well, Phil Mickelson, who just won the PGA tournament last week, is playing in the Charles Schwab Challenge, which I saw on the TV yesterday, and I was very confused. I was like, is this some sort of special golf tournament? Is it a regular golf tournament? Turns out it's a regular golf tournament. They just call it a challenge.
Phil, obviously, you had said you wanted to come here and kind of build off the momentum. I know this isn't quite the day you want to just talk about today and how difficult it was.
Yeah, I didn't play well. I shot 3 over, but I won the PGA, so...
Yeah, just talk about today. Nope, I want to talk about last week. I still did that, and I'm amazing. And those glasses, by the way, makes it look like he's been drinking since he won the PGA, yes. And that's why he needs those during interviews.
It wasn't just the glasses. It was also the heavy breathing that seemed like the celebration has not stopped. Like, his red-faced and exhausted hair looks a little messy with the aviators on, and I'm fine with it. Like, I'm not a big golf fan, certainly not really into Phil Mickelson. I don't identify with him, but in that moment, I kind of liked him. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. The only thing I feel like that he could have added to the whole look to throw off that party boy vibe would have been a backwards baseball cap.
Oh.
Feel the. Tonight on ESPN, Game 3, Knicks and Hawks.
Oh, the fans are back. Knicks fans are back. You know how I knew Knicks fans are back. You guys remember when spittle was something we were all afraid of? Not in Madison Square Garden anymore. They are spitting all over the place. They are spitting mad. But hey, they're 1-1 with the Hawks. And here were those New York Knicks fans leaving the building after that game too. Not sure if that's a bunch of cocky Knicks fans or it's just a bunch of people trying to catch a cab, but it is pretty impressive that they are leaving a winning playoff game at Madison Square Garden. Mina, are you intrigued?
No, I'm not intrigued. We want Brooklyn after winning one playoff game. Like, act like you've been there before, like me, a lifelong Nets fan.
The Knicks haven't been there before, at least not in a long time. The Nets, the Brooklyn version, certainly haven't been there before. So, yes, this is fun. Get them all together. Let's have fun. But it's hard for me to be happy for these Knicks fans. When this all started, we all were like, cool. MSG is full of fans, and they're so excited, and they're so grateful. But then they do things like spit on basketball players. And now it kind of makes them into the villain. And I know it's not all the fans, but one is enough for me. I kind of am rooting for the Hawks now. Just because of the spit.
I didn't love the Trey is balding chant either. Leave him alone.
Yeah. So I just imagine a bunch of balding 40-year-olds out there chanting that with no self-awareness.
Yeah, like a bunch of dudes with receding hairlines, maybe wearing caps to cover it, backwards ball right. caps, chanting, Trey is balding, Trey is balding.
That's all the time we have for today. Mina looks so much younger in that hat backward. Dominique Foxworth, catch them all over ESPN.
It's actually a good look, Mina. You should go with the hat more often. I like it.
This is the only hat I have available.
See you guys.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
Oh, it's Friday. Do you hate the weekend? I'm Dominique.
I like that.
Don't text me because you're going to get a one-word response.